Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Live and in living color, kind of. You, color radio. Oh boy, off to a great start. Spencer on Sports with you for this Monday. It's 17th day of April of 2023. Hope you had a great weekend. Yesterday was just an ugly weather day. My goodness. Some snow on the ground this morning. Not as much here as our friends up in Northeast Iowa got. I got a picture from back home in Wisconsin. Snow covering the trees and the grass. Yeah. Still got snow in April. It's for sure, but after the 80s last week, we probably not too thrilled about it. Anyways, we are here to start the brand new week of programming here at KGYM, local sports talk, running every Monday through Friday from 2 until 6. This little corner of the radio dial is called Spencer on Sports. Spencer Wagon, my name. Producer Isaac along for the ride as well. 319-366-1600. Talker text line wide open for you here today. Your best and worst of the weekend. Welcome. We got lots to cover in the next hour or so here with you this afternoon up until 3 o'clock. We'll get into the NBA playoffs from the weekend, some fun games. What wasn't so fun about the weekend was the injuries, especially yesterday. Try to figure out for some of these games if star players that got hurt are going to be able to play, including Giannis for Milwaukee, Ja Morant for the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of questions still remain about those injuries. We had some really impressive performances this weekend. I'm still just that Kings-Warriors game. Can we get 6 more games of that, please, from Saturday night? Boy, that was a fantastic basketball game. Yesterday had some good ones, had some not so good basketball games. We'll get into that, some of the reaction to the news of the weekend from the NBA coming up in just a little bit. Got some baseball to get to as well, both on the pro side of things and the college side of things. We'll talk a little college baseball here to start the segment. We're going to start up with a little news roundup from around the state of Iowa with the latest headlines from around the state to start the week here momentarily. But we'll talk about that. Some baseball and softball from the college side of things, also Major League Baseball. The Rays run came to an end. It came to an end earlier than I thought it would. It came to an end on Friday night. 13 straight wins to start the year. End up losing the series to Toronto, which is certainly kind of an interesting note to how that hot streak for the Rays to start the season ended. Still lots of season remaining, going all the way through September. So long way to go before we, have to really, consider how much it means going forward. But we'll get into that. And I do have the Stanley Cup playoffs, but the NHL playoffs starting tonight, as well as the quest for Lord Stanley's Cup begins. We'll get you the rundown of the schedule for that coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600 as we keep you going here on a Monday afternoon. Appreciate it as always as we start up local programming here on KGYM. Don't forget you can download our free app if you aren't around a radio in the afternoons. You want to stream us through your smart phone or your smart speaker, you're welcome to do that as well. Just head to your app store, grab the KGYM app, and we will pop up right there magically on your phone as we bring you the latest sports talk here, like I said, every weekday from 2 until 6. Let's start with news and scores from local and regional teams from around the state of Iowa. We'll get to college baseball and softball here momentarily, but some good news from the recruiting front when it comes to college football here this weekend. Not one, but 2 commits for the class of 2024 for Kirk Ferentz and the staff down in Iowa City. First up, commit that came across Saturday. This made the news cycles on Saturday. 3-star running back out of Indiana, Lake Central High School, Xavier Williams. announcing his pledge to play football collegiately for the University of Iowa on Saturday. Williams measuring in at 6 foot, 220 pounds. He's a junior, I guess, out of Lake Central High School in St. John, Indiana. He is number 13 ranked player in the state of Indiana, the number 69 running back in the nation, according to 24/7 Sports. And got an offer from Iowa back on the 29th of March. Was his only Power 5 offer, looking at the list of schools that he had offers from. A lot of MAC schools, Ball State, Bowling Green, Eastern Michigan, Northern Illinois, and Toledo, to name a few, along with Indiana State from the FCS level. But got an offer from Iowa, mulled it over for a little bit, and decided to make his pledge over the weekend, as he is joining the University of Iowa class of 2024 recruiting class. Had a heck of a junior season. Is reading up on his stats before the show today. All-state selection in Indiana, ran for 1,400-plus yards and 15 touchdowns. And he was the first, as of Saturday, the first running back part of the class of 2024 recruiting class. Soon to be joined by another running back, so two running back commits this weekend from the University of Iowa. This one a little bit closer to home from Adel, Iowa. Brevin Dahl, three-star athlete from the state of Iowa. Of course, as Chad Lastico from the Des Moines Register said on Twitter yesterday, and I'm making comparisons between the two. Don't get your feathers ruffled when we make the reference, but Adel home to another former rather famous Iowa football player, as you all know, Niall Kinnick. Hometown of legendary Hawkeye Niall Kinnick is the same place that Brevin Dahl hails from. But Dahl making his commitment as well to the Hawkeyes this weekend. So two running backs, two three-star running backs, according to 24/7 Sports, making their recruitment commitments known to the Iowa football team. Brevin Dahl, number 6 player in the state, number 56 athlete nationwide, and is a top 600 player per 24/7 Sports in the 2024 class. That's a nationwide ranking there. But good to see another in-state talent staying home for the Iowa football team. Dahl choosing Iowa over offers from the other major schools in Iowa, including Iowa State and Northern Iowa, along with K-State, Minnesota, Oklahoma State, Purdue, and South Dakota, among others. So two commits, two running backs to the class of 2024 for the Iowa football team this weekend. And when you look at recruiting rankings, they're so tough to base anything off of. Kind of a measuring stick, I guess, if you want to call it that. Just see where you're at with, the players that you're bringing in and the recruiting rankings that you're bringing in, or the recruiting that you're doing, and showing how you stack up with the other teams in your conference. But if you put any stock into those for 2024, Iowa is 5th in the Big Ten, 21st nationally, according to On3 Sports. Teams ahead of them in the rankings for 2024, the class of 2024. No surprise to see Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, 1 through 3. And Luke Fickell and his staff at Wisconsin at number 4. And the latest On3 Sports rankings for the 2024 recruiting class. So Iowa, number 5 in the Big Ten, now with 2 4-star commits and 7 3-star commits. For 9 total, when you factor in the commits of Xavier Williams and Brevin Dahl over the weekend. So 9 total, Ohio State and Michigan each with 12 commits each for the class of 2024. Penn State has 9, Wisconsin has 6 for the class of 2024. And this is how you know things are getting real. On3 Sports, I'm looking at the recruiting rankings right now here in the studio. First time seeing USC and UCLA in the recruiting rankings. That took me back for like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, that's right. They're joining the conference in 2024. We all knew that. Just it will forever be weird to see those two teams listed as Big Ten schools. going forward. But they are in there. They are in the 2024 rankings. You pull it up today and you will see it. For what it's worth, as of today, UCLA 12th and USC is 13th with two commits and one commit, respectively, for the Bruins and Trojans. Obviously, long way to go before we get to that point, but thought it was interesting to have that kind of jolt of a reminder that UCLA and USC are going to be lumped in with the Big Ten going forward. Illinois and Northwestern, Northwestern and Illinois 14th and 15th, respectively, in the Big Ten. For the sake of impartial coverage, the Big 12, for what it's worth, Iowa State currently 8th in the recruiting rankings for On3 Sports. Again, still very strange to see the new Big 12 members listed with the OG Big 12 members. UCF, currently the number 2 ranked recruiting class in the Big 12 per On3 Sports. Cincinnati's 5th, BYU is 9th, and Houston is 12th for the class of 2024. Iowa State 8th with 5 commits, 8th in the Big 12 here as of today. Looking up and down the rankings in the Big 12 conference so far, Iowa State 48th nationwide, for what it's worth. So some big news there on the front for Iowa football, getting 2 running back commits this weekend. From basketball commitments, this was news already confirmed on Instagram last week, but news officially made official today by the University of Iowa and Head Men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey, that grad transfer Ben Cricke from Valpo has officially signed with the University of Iowa. Cricke saying that he's grateful for the opportunity to become a Hawkeye. Talked about how he's excited to get to campus and get to playing and get to working with his new teammates. But that officially made official by Coach Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa men's basketball team. Ben Cricke will officially be a Hawkeye. That news coming out earlier today at 2:17. Mentioned some updates for the college baseball side of things. Got a lot to get to in this last couple parts of the show here, so want to make sure we talk about the college baseball and softball side of things here from the weekend. Iowa and Minnesota, Hawkeyes needing to win some games. They did that. It was a prime opportunity for a sweep up in the Twin Cities. Kind of a weird series with the weather changing things around. Instead of playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they played 2 on Friday, had a rather lengthy rain delay on Saturday before things got going. Minnesota, not the strongest team. Iowa's had their struggles to be in Big Ten play here, just 4-5 now in conference play after the weekend. So a missed opportunity to be above 500, really, when you look at it. But still, taking 2 of 3 from Minnesota in the road series, winning the series, not necessarily a bad thing. The game on Friday for Coach Heller and the squad slipping away from Iowa in the 12-3 loss. That was game 1. A 7-run fifth inning broke that game open for the Gophers. And a name, and yes, it is Craig's son, Brady Counsell. Craig Counsell's son plays baseball for Minnesota, 3-for-5 with a double, drove in 3 and scored 2 runs in the win in game 1 Friday for the Golden Gophers. Brody Brecht saddled with the loss in that one. 4 1/3 innings pitched. Gave up 3 hits, 5 runs, 4 walks, and struck out 3 in the defeat. Wasn't all bad, though. Iowa bouncing back with game 2 win, 7-2 over the Gophers. Home run for Michael Seegers in that one. Keaton Anthony with a double. Also, Ben Wilmes with a couple RBI in that game for the Hawkeyes. That win Friday, game 2 victory on Friday, was win number 300 for Rick Heller as the head coach of the Hawkeyes, by the way. And then Iowa going out with a bang. 18-4 win to close things out on Saturday and win the series over the Gophers. 2 5-run innings for Iowa in the 2nd and the 7th helped the Hawkeyes secure that series win over the Gophers. Keaton Anthony, some impressive stuff from him. 2 doubles in that game. He's now got 19 on the season. That's tied for 5th most in a single season at Iowa. He's tied for 11th with career doubles with 41 as well. So some nice two baggers for Keaton Anthony. A nice amount there, 19 on the season, and still going strong here as things move forward for the Iowa baseball team. They are now 25-9 overall. I mentioned 4-5 in the Big Ten. Two midweek games this week as they are set to play at UIC on Tuesday and then host Bradley coming up here on Wednesday. Softball diamond, Iowa did get one as they played that three-game set with Maryland. The Terps swept both games on Friday, 5-2 and 2-0, but a walk-off RBI single in the seventh for Nia Carter helped Iowa win 2-1 on Saturday. She's at 73 hits this year, which is huge. Tied for 16th in a single-season history for Iowa. Hawkeyes with the most wins since 2013, 27 wins for Iowa, 27-17 overall, 8-6 in the Big Ten. On the road at Western Illinois, going to Macomb for action against the Leathernecks coming up on Wednesday. And then Iowa State softball going up against number 3 Oklahoma State. Been kind of a rough season so far for Iowa State, but a huge win yesterday on Sunday down at Stillwater. Cyclones winning 3-2 in 11 innings, handing the Cowgirls of Oklahoma State their first Big 12 loss of the year and second time ever in program history for the Cyclones. They've beaten the number 3 team in program history. The last one came all the way back in 2005, long time ago, when they knocked off Texas all the way back when. So nice little piece of history there to wrap up a tough series, losing first two games of the season, or first two games of the series, I should say, Friday and Saturday down in Stillwater. So quick roundup of the news to get things going here on this Monday afternoon. Some recruiting news for football and basketball, plus checking out the local scoreboard. We'll keep you posted, obviously. Leading with local, leading with regional here on the show. Keep you up to date with what's happening on the local and regional sports scene. 319-366-1600. As we come up on 2:22, we'll take a quick timeout, come back with a little basketball talk as I slam the keyboard down. I don't know what I'm doing in the studio here. Not taking anything out on the keyboard, don't worry. But we'll come back and talk about the NBA playoffs from the weekend. Some blowouts, some good games, some surprises, some, I guess, not so surprising things, and injuries headlining what we saw in the association over the weekend as the postseason continues in the NBA. We'll cover those games, take a look at what's happening tonight, and get you through the next couple games here on the NBA slate. Talk about that and more on the other side of this timeout. Spencer at Sports with you on a Monday on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we are going to have plenty of sunshine today, but it is going to be breezy and cool. Temperatures are going to drop down tonight below freezing as we'll have clear skies and lighter winds. Then tomorrow will be sunny with temperatures popping it up to around 60 degrees. Wednesday and Thursday will be much more springy. We'll have temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s with a chance for showers and thunderstorms both days. And there's a potential some storms could be strong. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinic April 20th at either the Cedar Rapids or Coralville location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure, But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at ENJ Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay, they'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 2:26 on a Monday afternoon with Spencer on Sports for this April 17th afternoon at KGYM at 319-366-1600. Poll question at KGYMradio.com as we preview and recap what we saw in the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs. Which team wins tonight? Game two after a thrilling game one out in Sacramento. Atmosphere looked incredible out there in Sacramento. The Kings make it a 2-0 series lead heading into San Francisco, or does Golden State say, we're the defending champs, we're going to take one tonight? What do you think? You could vote at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We'll get to that game here momentarily, get some reaction from both the Kings and the Warriors after the incredible basketball game that was on Saturday night. But let's rewind to the beginning. The first two games of the day Saturday, honestly, were I was not watching, and I'm kind of glad that I was not around a TV to watch those games, because they, looking at the box scores, looking at the news clippings and whatever from the games, that they just looked terrible. Philly blowing out Brooklyn 121-101. And then Boston dominating Atlanta. Expected, I think, in game one of those series. Thought maybe the Hawks would have a little bit more, but Boston just too good to beat Atlanta. I was not really confident in Brooklyn at all in game one, not even in the series. I think Philadelphia is going to win that one rather easily. But Philly and Boston both doing what they were expected to do and knocking off their first-round opponents, or their first-round opponents in the first game. Still, at most, three more games left if we're looking at a sweep here. But Philly winning 26 points for Joel Embiid, 23 for James Harden to go along with 13 assists. Well, Mikal Bridges had just 30 for Brooklyn. Cam Johnson adding 18. Spencer Dinwiddie with 14. And the Sixers, they franchise playoff record 21 threes in that game, really the tail of the tape there. And then for that Boston-Atlanta game, big days, no surprise from Jaylen Brown. The Jays, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, 29-12 for Brown, 25-11 for Tatum, as Derek White also chipped in 24. DeJounte Murray with 24 for Atlanta. Trae Young had 16-8 as the Celtics were up 30 at halftime in that one and cruised to the victory. So a couple 1-0 series leads there for the Sixers and the Celtics. Then things got kind of interesting with that New York and Cleveland game. We had it for you here on ESPN Radio in the afternoon. The Knicks going into Cleveland, winning game one on the road for the first time in quite a while. ESPN Stats and Info sharing that their game one win Saturday in Cleveland was the first road win in a series on the road in game one since the 1999 conference finals. You believe that? I mean, the Knicks have been the butt of many jokes over the last, how long, but They hadn't won game one on the road since 1999. And just the second time they won game one, regardless of venue, in the last 20 seasons. Man, that's some incredible stuff. They go into Cleveland, win 101-97. Jalen Brunson with 27, Julius Randle 19-10. Donovan Mitchell with 38 in the game for Cleveland as Darius Garland chipped in 17. So the Knicks have a 1-0 series lead there. Knicks fans, if you're on social media, you may have seen them already in the streets. I feel like, I don't know what it is, but every time there's a Knicks win of some kind, likely in the playoffs, why are their fans always in the streets? And they're being videotaped by someone random on the streets, and they're always just like spouting off about something, just like, yeah, we're the greatest basketball team of all time. Yeah, kind of stuff like that. Like, what? Yeah, you won. Congratulations. I didn't have you beating the Cavs. I thought maybe you'd win a game, probably in the Garden. Maybe a gentleman's sweep there. Who knows? I feel like it could be 5-6 game series, kind of one of those series. Like, if one team gets hot, they might put it away early, but kind of evenly matched as the 4 and the 5. But I saw a video on Twitter, Knicks fans like, yeah, Knicks in 4. We're going to sweep them. Fire up old takes exposed, please. That's all I have to say with that. I liked Cleveland to win that series. I think Cleveland's going to take game two on Tuesday and go back to the Garden with a chance for a 2-1 series lead. But Knicks fans have a right to be confident, went in and got that win. I'm just not sure if confident should be, you know, Knicks in 4. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it bodes well to go that far. But Knicks with an impressive win there. And then that set up just an awesome basketball game. Defending champs going into Sacramento. Sacramento winning. Golden State chance to go ahead late. So Andrew Wiggins missing a wide open look at 3. And Sacramento getting the win, 126-123. Huge night for a couple college teammates. De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, both former Kentucky Wildcats. Fox with 38, Malik Monk with 32. They are the second pair of college teammates in NBA playoff history to each score 30 points for the same team in a game. Got to go all the way back to 1995 when Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon did it twice in the first round against Utah. And Fox and Monk combining for 70 points, the most by a duo each, making their playoff debut in NBA history. De'Aaron Fox had this to say about the team, and when he realized the team, meaning the Sacramento Kings, could be something special. Here's what the Kings star had to say after that epic win on Saturday night.
For me, obviously, I've been here for a while, so I would say during the summer, to be honest, just seeing the guys that we brought in, even going back to the deadline last year, we kind of saw what we had, what we could do. But then getting Malik and getting Kev this summer and then drafting Keegan, I mean, that's a lot of shooting, that's a lot of length, and that's a lot of athleticism. So once I saw the roster that was being built, I thought that we could be really good. And I think it took us a while to gel together throughout the season. But at the end of the day, I think we're a pretty good team right now.
De'Aaron Fox talking after the 126-123 win on Saturday night over Golden State. Aside from him and Malik Monk, Trey Lyles added 16, Domantas Sabonis with 12 points, 16 boards, Harrison Barnes with 13 points and 7 rebounds, and only 16 minutes on the court for Keegan Murray, scored 2 points in the game. Did not factor much into the result, but huge games from Fox and Monk. Helped out the Kings there. Huge drought snapped. The second longest span between playoff victories in NBA history was snapped with that win on Saturday night. It was 16 years and 350 days since the Kings last won a playoff game. It's a long, long time ago. The Kings stars essentially if you wanted to call it the Remember Some Guys contingent, was out. Well, Vlade Divac, is he considered a Remember Some Guys? I don't know, but they had all the luminaries from the past there, kind of fill it up the stands and celebrating a momentous occasion, getting a home playoff game, and let alone winning it. For the Kings, 16 years and 350 days. The Washington Wizards have the longest, by the way, or had the longest, 16 years and 361 days, which they broke all the way back in 2005. So big win for the Kings. You got to do it again tonight. And I saw a question, Ralph from Riverside on the text line at 319-366-1600. Warriors or Kings? Good question. Who do I like tonight? If you're looking at things from a betting perspective, Golden State is now the favorite at most, in fact, all major sports books. Line opened with the Kings as a one-point favorite and is now shifted to about 1.5 to 2 points in favor of Golden State. A lot of money going in on the Warriors. I feel like the Kings can win the game. They got to do what they did again on Saturday night. Just have Fox and Monk and maybe even Sabonis. Sabonis had 16 rebounds, but really wasn't effective scoring wise. They can keep that up. I think the Kings certainly have a chance. It'd be huge for them to go back to San Francisco. Period. Not going back with a 2-0 lead. Obviously, I think Golden State, they've got some motivation. I think they felt like they probably should have won that game. They were leading for a good chunk of it, couldn't put it away. I think Golden State's going to win tonight. I don't know who's going to win this series. If I had to make a pick, I think Golden State probably would have won the series, or I think still might win the series. But I think Sacramento's got a great young team. Got one playoff win under the belt. Now can you make it two? And can you defend your home court? Because that's huge. Going up 2-0, like I said, is big. 1-1, still, solid spot to be in. You want to be down 0-2 going on the road, certainly. And then it's not going to be the case here. But I'll take Golden State tonight. I think it goes back to San Francisco even. I think the Kings will be able to steal one in Sacramento or in San Francisco. Somehow, I feel like this Kings team, whether it's Fox or Sabonis, or maybe we'll have a big night from, Harrison Barnes or Keegan Murray representing the state of Iowa here. Who knows? But I feel like it goes back to San Francisco tied 1-1. I think it's going six. That series is going to go six. That's my prediction here as of today. But Golden State has shifted to become the favorite for tonight. A lot of people on Golden State, I kind of share that sentiment. I feel like there's some extra motivation there for the Warriors tonight going into that matchup in Sacramento, game time late tonight. So that was yesterday, or Saturday, excuse me. Moving on to yesterday, some interesting stuff happening in the NBA, and unfortunately, the interesting stuff was injury related. Starting with the first game of the day, I'm going to say this: I was not surprised at one bit. The Lakers won that game yesterday. I'm not trying to parrot, the national folks at ESPN with the wall-to-wall Lakers coverage, but I felt like the Lakers had a good chance to win at least game one. I felt like, I don't know, Memphis. I like Memphis. I like John Morant. I think. They still can win the series. Obviously, it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one in that one. But the real question mark is here, can they win it without Ja? A lot of question marks surrounding what is going to happen with Memphis here going forward. Is Ja healthy enough to play in game two? That's what we're going to find out. And John Morant, of course, if you missed the story yesterday, left the game with an apparent hand injury. He landed on his right hand after attempting a dunk, collided with Anthony Davis. He subbed out of the game, ran past the bench, headed back to the locker room, ultimately returned to the Grizzlies bench, but didn't re-enter the game. And a lot of question whether he might actually play with with that hand issue that he suffered in that contest yesterday, game one against the Lakers. ESPN's Dave McMenamin was there and had this to say about the seriousness of Ja's injury. What does it mean for the Grizzlies going forward? Here's what Dave had to say.
Listen, we've kind of been in like desperation, you know, kind of playoff mode for about 2 months now, because we didn't really have much room for error to lose games or whatever the case may be if we wanted to put ourselves in a position to play right now. But, you know, when the playoffs start, it's even more dialed in and understanding, you know, assignments, not making mistakes. You know, we can't have, you know, multiple possessions where we're not running back on defense, or, you know, we turn the ball over. And obviously, you know, me and AD had the majority of the turnovers tonight. So even when we turn the ball over, we got to get back and set our defense. But offensively and defensively, we got to be just, you know, be as dialed in as you possibly can for 48 minutes. And I thought the guys definitely understood that assignment and were really good tonight. But I think we could be even better.
Apologies there. That's clearly LeBron James, but wanted to hear from him as well, talking about the win for the Lakers, 128-112 yesterday. Here's Dave McMenamin from ESPN talking about Ja Morant's injury.
After the collision happened, I think Anthony Davis lined up to take a charge against Morant. He ended up kind of bracing his fall with the hand that was already wrapped going into the game. It had kind of a pad on it. You could hear, as he got up and ran off the court to go to the locker room to have it looked at, you could hear him like yelp in pain. Like, it was an audible, you can tell it's a very painful situation from what we heard him say there. And of course, you know, there's something like 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game at that point. He goes back to the locker room and he comes back to the bench with like 3 minutes or so left in the game, and he's not going to the scorer's table. You know, the competitor that this guy is and the stakes of the moment, you know, the fact that he didn't go back into the game and afterwards said that game two could be in jeopardy, I think it's a real thing. I don't think this is posturing. I don't think this is trying to, you know, use gamesmanship, whether the Lakers will he or won't he going into game two. I think he's being serious that, you know, his hand's pretty jacked up right now.
What might benefit the Grizzlies is the fact that game two is Wednesday. So you have a couple days yet to play or before you play again, and I think that will certainly play some role here. But I don't know. We'll have to see. Memphis has done pretty well the last couple seasons when Ja has not played. However, you want your best players on the court, especially come playoff time, especially going up against a team like the Lakers, who, you know, they had decent days from LeBron and Anthony Davis yesterday. Davis with 22 and 12. LeBron had 21 and 11. But it was Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves who did the most damage yesterday. Hachimura with 29 and Austin Reeves with 23 yesterday in the game for the Lakers as they take that 1-0 series lead. The other question that Ralph from Riverside had on the text line, asking about the Milwaukee Bucks, the other injury that had a lot of eyes on the TV and a lot of worried Milwaukee Bucks fans scrolling their Twitter feed looking for updates after last night. Giannis leaving the game with what they said was a quote-unquote back contusion after hitting the floor hard in the first quarter. 6 points, 3 rebounds, and 11 minutes on the floor. Giannis leaving the game, the Bucks losing to Miami in game one, 130 to 117. Here's the latest from ESPN about what the status of Giannis is heading into game two of that series for the East number one seed.
Bucks forward Giannis Antetokounmpo took a hard fall to the floor after colliding with Miami's Kevin Love. Giannis was slow to get up with what would later be called a back contusion, another name for a deep bruise. Initial x-rays were negative, and if it is indeed a soft tissue injury, then treatment will focus on alleviating pain and swelling, and return to play will be dictated by how Giannis feels, and most importantly, how well he can move. With 2 days off until the Bucks' next game, the door is open for him to return if he can meet those criteria.
That's ESPN's Stephania Bell talking about Giannis's injury. Head coach Mike Budenholzer saying today that they are going to continue to monitor him for the next 24 hours, the next day or two. He is getting treatment. Giannis is getting treatment, still sore, but he says there is progress there. And they're still mostly positive and mostly optimistic heading into Wednesday's game two against Miami. The other injury there that is going to play a big role in that series, Tyler Herro breaking his hand in the game as well. So injuries all day yesterday. Tyler Herro breaking his right hand while diving for a loose ball in the second quarter of yesterday's win over Milwaukee. So he's done. Giannis still up in the air whether he's going to play Wednesday. The Heat, I think they just had an unconscious shooting night yesterday. 60% from three, 59% from the floor. Can they keep that up? I don't think so. I think even without Giannis, the Bucks can scrape by, but if he is not 100%, it's going to be a tighter series than I think most of us thought. But to answer your question, Ralph in Riverside on the text line, I think the Bucks are fine. Hopeful Giannis will play. And we'll see. Certainly, I feel more hopeful that Giannis will play than I do Ja Morant coming up later this week. We'll see with both of them. But Heat do lead that series 1-0. The Clippers, I gave the KOD, kiss of death, to both the Bucks and the Suns on Friday because I picked them to play in the NBA Finals. Repeat of 2021. And they both lost yesterday. Bucks losing to Miami, the Suns losing to the Clippers, 115-110. Kawhi had 38 for the Clippers. KD had 27 and 11 for Phoenix. And last night, Wolves fans, I won't get too far into it, but Wolves looking bad against the Denver Nuggets, losing 109-80 as the Nuggets take a 1-0 series lead. Two games tonight, Brooklyn and Philly, 6:30 on TNT, and then Golden State and Sacramento will follow tonight as Philly looks to go up 2-0 in that series. The Sixers are a 10-10.5-point favorite tonight against the Brooklyn Nets in game two of the first round. We are overdue for a break. We got some baseball, and we'll run down the NHL schedule tonight as well. That's on the other side of this timeout with Spencer on Sports and the Gym.
Welcome to Money Mondays with Farmers State Bank. FSB wants to supercharge your week, so grab your coffee and get ready for a financial jumpstart with these helpful Money Mondays tips from our experts at FSB.
In every business and every community, relationships are the most important thing. Hi, I'm Kevin Bogie with FSB. As a local bank, we're committed to building relationships with customers who want to bring greater prosperity and longevity to our communities. We know it's important for our clients to understand the market, so we gladly take the time to discuss what's happening globally, nationally, and locally to help identify the ways that we can help improve your business and allow you to have an even greater positive impact here.
Money Mondays, getting your week off and running with intelligent financial advice to help you get ready for what's next. Farmers State Bank, providing you with faster answers, stronger partnerships, and better banking solutions. Explore your future with FSB at myfsbonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Save big on all replacement door and window screens from AdForce. They're durable, easy to install, and offer great protection from pet damage. Right now, pick up a roll of pet-resistant screen for only $9.99 after 11% off. Start your next project today at Menards. Savings are a mail-in rebate good through April 23rd. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code ESPN15 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code ESPN15. Use code ESPN15 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Back at 249, Spetzer at Sports with you here on this Monday afternoon. Spent a good chunk of time on the NBA playoffs. Lots to get to from the weekends. Got playoff action coming back on the airwaves for you on Wednesday night. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. We'll have the full broadcast schedule for you at KGYMRadio.com. Finishing up with a little baseball and NHL playoff talk. We got the playoffs starting tonight there as well. So lots of viewing options for you on the sports calendar tonight. One daytime baseball game. It is, Patriots Day in Boston today. So the Red Sox, well, they were playing, and then there was like a torrential downpour. So they had quite a long delay there. But they have resumed at Fenway, the Angels leading Boston 5-3. The only daytime action on the baseball calendar today. Two postponements, including the Chicago White Sox. They were set to open a series against the Philadelphia Phillies down on the south side of Chicago. Weather has forced that one to be postponed till tomorrow. They'll play a straight-up doubleheader. The Sox and the Phils will tomorrow from Guaranteed Rate Field. Also, the Tigers and the Guardians at Comerica Park. That game also postponed for tonight, so two fewer games on the docket for tonight in Major League Baseball. From the weekend, the Cubs. How about those Cubs? Took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, winning 3-2 yesterday. Patrick Wisdom and Cody Bellinger with a couple solo home runs going back-to-back in the sixth there as the Cubs win that one over the Dodgers and take the series as well. Baltimore took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. White Sox jump out to a big lead yesterday. 4-run first. O's outscored them 8-0 from there. Cedric Mullins driving in 4 for the Orioles as they won 8-4. Yesterday, Cardinals got a walk-off win over Pittsburgh, 5-4 in 10 innings. Tommy Edman with the walk-off single in the 10th as the Cardinals split that four-gamer with Pittsburgh. Twins fans, I have to believe you're probably pretty happy that, I mean, you're not happy you lost the last two games of the series, I'm sure, but got a split at Yankee Stadium. Again, would probably mean more if it was, you know, in October and not in in mid-April, but the Twins splitting a four-game set with the Yankees. Big performance from Gerrit Cole yesterday. Complete game, two-hitter, didn't give up a run, walked one, and struck out 10 in the win for the Yankees over the Twins. Pablo Lopez wasn't bad at all himself. 6 innings pitched, gave up 7 hits, 2 runs, a walk, and struck out 7. As the Twins split that series with the Yankees. The Brewers, how about the Brewers? Man, no complaining here. I have very little to complain about. Brewers winning 1-0 over the Padres, took 3 of 4 from San Diego. Garrett Mitchell, 2 for 3 with a run scored. Wade Miley struck out 8 in 7 innings as the Brewers held on to win over the Padres there. And then Royals fans, I know you weren't probably expecting much of your team this year, and things are going probably about as well as you thought it would. The Royals swept by Atlanta, 5-4. Vaughn Grissom with a go-ahead single in the 9th for the Braves as they sweep that 3-game series from Kansas City. Vinny Pasquantino tied the game on a home run in the 7th, but the Braves able to pull it out with a 5-4 victory. Mentioned Detroit was postponed. Cleveland and Detroit postponed. The White Sox and Phillies postponed today as well. Cardinals opening up a series with Arizona tonight at 6:45. Kansas City hosting Texas. The Cubs out in Oakland. Really a chance for the Cubs to make some hay here. Playing, well, Dodgers are a good team, but Oakland not so good. 8:40 start time tonight out in Oakland and Milwaukee. Out in Seattle, Corbin Burns taking on Chris Flexen. That's a great sports name, period. Flexen. He's flexing on us. Hopefully not flexing on the Brewers tonight 8:40 start time out at Safeco. Cedar Rapids Colonels game yesterday postponed because of the weather. Ended up losing the final three of that. What turned out to be a five-game set against Quad Cities, losing 6-4 on Friday and 5-3 on Saturday. Colonels and Blight Skycarp on Tuesday for six-game set starting up on Tuesday. We'll cover that a little bit more here as the week goes on. And as I promised, we've got NHL playoffs to talk about tonight with things getting underway. Four games tonight, four games tomorrow. The ESPN family has most of them. There is one game on TBS. That is tomorrow's game between the Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. But tonight, the New York Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes at 6, Florida at Boston at 6:30. The Minnesota Wild at Dallas tonight at 8:30 on ESPN2, and then Los Angeles Kings out at Edmonton tonight at 9 o'clock. I mentioned the Rangers and New Jersey at 6 tomorrow night. Tampa and Toronto at 6:30 on ESPN. My beloved Winnipeg Jets. Yes, they are in the playoffs. No one thinks they're going to do anything, but the Jets will prove them all wrong. You heard it here first. The Jets out in Las Vegas. Yeah, it's going to be a tough series to win. 8:30 tomorrow night on ESPN2. And then the Seattle. I see that right? Seattle. The Kraken are in the playoffs too. Boy, the Kraken and the Jets making the postseason. Got some hockey to watch, I think. Seattle out of the defending champs, the Avalanche, tomorrow night at 9. So that's your first round lineup. Keep you posted on those scores and latest news there as well from the NHL playoffs as things get underway on ESPN, that one lone game on TBS. 319-366-1600. Remind your poll question at kgymradio.com. Which team is going to win tonight? Who do you think will win game two tonight after a fantastic game between the two teams on Saturday night? Golden State and Sacramento. Which team is going to win tonight? Kings take a 2-0 lead. Golden State even it up at one game apiece. You can vote at kgymradio.com. Currently, the results are split right down the middle between the two sides. So you can break that tie right now at kgymradio.com. We've got the gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp on the way between 4 and 6. We'll be with you again tomorrow here at 2, covering the biggest stories from the sports world, baseball, basketball, hockey, and more. We've got it covered each weekday from 2 until 3 right here on KGYM. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon. We will talk to you again at 2 tomorrow on The Gym.